1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Brought to you by the Marcus Majestic Parking Lot Cinema. For a unique double feature drive-in experience, check out this week's movie selections at marcustheaters.com/parkinglotcinema.
And now, sports historian Tim Murray.
Hello, gentlemen.
That comes with a little more pressure and cachet, I think.
It was a
sports
historian.
Sports historian?
I think so. Because I think of guys like George Will, when I think of historian.
Ah, he was on the McGuire-Sosa 30 for 30.
Yeah.
God, he's old.
I've seen Richard Dreyfuss on history shows, not as an actor, but it says Richard Dreyfuss, you know, actor, historian.
He's
talking about...
Who declares
the Civil
you?
War or
who
something.
Declares you a historian? Do you
I think
read
once it? You write a book and it sells a few copies, you could be.
What
you
if
could
you
make
just read a lot of books? You haven't written a book.
What if someone's making a documentary and you know you're in the film business and they're in the film business and they just grab you because you're in the film business and you've written a book?
Are you a sports historian? You've watched a lot of sports. You remember?
Me?
No, I'm talking to Brian. I know
me
you
no.
are.
I'm not.
No,
a historian
you're not.
By any
Why
stretch?
Aren't you?
Hell no.
Why aren't you a sports historian? Because you can't.
I have no credentials.
Who gives you those credentials?
The world.
I don't.
If
like
you,
it's kind of like how we have.
If you
have
put
our
it on
list
your Twitter bio, then that is legally binding.
Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Since we're not historians, but we had this earlier this morning, Tim, I have to share this with you. In the 1904 Brian Olympics.
1904 Olympics.
The tug of war competition was won. Gold medalists. Are you ready for this? By a team from Milwaukee, from the Wisconsin Athletic Club downtown.
Milwaukee Athletic Club.
Yes. Milwaukee, right. Not the Wisconsin. Okay. Milwaukee Athletic Club, downtown Wisconsin. The second
1904, gold medal, tug of war.
Right here.
St. Louis
in
Olympics.
Town. Yeah. And the second and third place teams were from St. Louis.
Wow.
Yeah, the
hometown.
Silver.
So we, the United States in 1904, dominant in the tug of war.
It was like
basketball.
But other years? Pretty much Great Britain
in tug of war.
Something. Yeah. What was it about 1904 that we were all?
I don't know. We got
all in.
Trained up.
Give him the shoe story about the tug of war. The Brits.
Gotta look all that up.
The Brits showed up in 1920.
Cheating shoes. Yes, they had shoes that were so
heavy.
So
they had
heavy they couldn't even really walk in them.
For the tug of war competition.
Yeah.
How need to big, bring tug of war back.
How big were these shoes?
They were ridiculously big, apparently.
Yeah. I said to Brian earlier, were they so heavy you had to put them on right by the rope and then just stand up because you couldn't walk over there? How heavy would a shoe have to be for you, Tim, to not be able to lift your feet? 150 pounds?
One time, or
I'm talking, you got to take 5 steps over the tug of war rope. So it's
100 pounds, 125 pounds.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. Because at what point does it start to pull your joints out of socket?
So they had weighted shoes.
They had cheating shoes.
Yeah,
cheaters.
And it wasn't
shoes.
Against the rules either. There was nothing in the rules that prohibited it.
Well, I think it was interpretation of the rules. It was very loose.
Yeah.
Well, how many other I mean, I know the ginger on the curling team, big ginger, Matt Hamilton, he's a Wisconsin guy.
Madison, right?
Madison, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We love when our guys win. We do.
He was the unfortunate part for, I mean, he was the only Wisconsin, all the other guys were Minnesotans.
Sure. Yeah, but he was our story.
He had one of them.
Yeah.
He was the most charismatic of all of them. He had the best personality. He had the mustache and everything going there.
Then Brian gave me the medal count from the 1904 Olympics where the United States won. It's 284, I think.
It was
284 medals?
Yeah, we kind of cleaned up. Germany had 13 altogether.
In second place.
What?
Yeah.
Isn't history fun?
It is.
Did we invite anyone else to the Olympics? Was it just the United States versus everybody?
Well,
holy crap.
We took the gold. Took the gold medal in rope climbing that year.
It was the World's Fair. Here it is.
There were 280 medals handed out, and the United States won 239 of them.
Okay, that's what, okay.
Yeah, U.S. 239, 78 gold, 82 silver, 79 bronze. Germany, second place, 13.
Total.
With
total.
4 gold, 4 silver, 5 bronze.
Yeah, we were really good.
There seems to be, like, there must have been invitations lost in the mail.
There are only 10 countries that medaled. Austria, Switzerland, Greece.
There's only 10 countries.
There's a mixed team.
Well, it says participating national Olympic committees. I mean, in the United States, I think, had 526 people at these games, and Canada had 56.
Well, you know, it was a travel thing. A lot easier to travel to the United States when you're in it.
It is. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So there's a little something
here
for
we
you.
Go. Athletes from 12 nations competed in St. Louis. Numbers in parentheses indicate the number of known competitors for each nation. Due to the difficulty of getting to St. Louis in 1904 and European tensions caused by the Russo-Japanese War, only 62 athletes from outside North America came to the Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah, Switzerland, famously neutral, they showed up.
With two athletes.
Yeah. Well, and they won two medals.
Oh, that's fun. It's good to know. See?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're a sports historian.
This is how you
get
to be.
I did not know about the 1904 Olympics.
Right. So does that make you a historian
Milwaukee
now?
Milwaukee brought home the gold.
Yeah. In tug of war.
Although it appears that every American that showed up brought home
something.
If you didn't, you're like, hey, I was in the 1904 Olympics. Oh, so you won the gold medal.
No, that was somebody.
I didn't.
Boy, hang your head in shape.
Yeah, seriously.
I didn't even beat the Hungarians.
Yeah, we did really well in those Olympics in St. Louis in 1904, where I believe there was also a big cholera outbreak. No, there was.
Well, because, yeah.
The pool that they used for swimming events, it was a pond, but it was also used for the World's Fair to let the cattle drink
graze
from.
And they'd poop in there.
Yeah, and it got all infected, and a lot of swimmers got cholera.
It's a different world, you know. Things have changed.
Right. We used to do figure skating until when, the 60s? Outdoors. Mm-hmm. That was out in the cold.
And skating figures meant...
Yeah, it was a...
The compulsories. They always talk about the compulsories, and then they stopped showing them was skating a figure eight.
Figure eight,
and
you had to match it up.
Like a circle.
Yeah. It was so boring they never showed it on TV, but they would always give the scores.
All he wanted was all the triple soul cows.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out right now if the football that was at the Olympics, was it soccer or is it football?
Football?
Rugby by football? Is that what you mean?
It might have been rugby. Well, it's called football.
We have never played football at the Olympics. Not American-style football.
And we didn't even win the damn gold medal. Only three teams competed. Two United States teams, one Canadian team, and Canada beat us.
Canadians won. Yeah. Okay. All right. We needed to get better.
Yeah, we did. Sure did. Speaking of sports history, do you remember where you were 26 years ago today?
I do.
Probably sitting right here 26 years ago today. That's 1994.
More towards evening.
June 17th, 1994. So right now we are in uncharted waters, right, with no sports. I mean, SportsCenter's talking about the plans for basketball to come back in 6 weeks, and it's bizarre. Think about the sports day we had 26 years ago. So the night prior was Game 4 of the NBA Finals, and the Knicks beat the Rockets 91-82. That was Game 5, so they won 91-84. So the Knicks were now up 3-2 on the Rockets.
Who was on those teams, Knicks, Rockets? That had to be
Patrick Ewing.
Patrick Ewing, John Starks, Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler. And the Rangers were having their victory parade on June 17th, 1994. First time they had won a Stanley Cup since 1940. We had the World Cup opening up in the United States with a grand event in Chicago. And Germany beat Bolivia that day, 1-0 at Soldier Field. The U.S. Open was about to start its second round, where you had 54-year-old Jack Nicklaus one off the pace as he shot a 2-under-69 at Oakmont. Tom Watson was your leader heading into the second round. And, oh, yeah, a former Heisman Trophy winner decided to get into a white Ford Bronco and lead a high-speed chase because...
Not high-speed.
Not low-speed. Low-speed.
Brian described it better over the years as an escort.
Yeah.
It was just kind
of a... escort drive around Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember where I was. I was set to go out. Because it was a Friday, I think.
It was a Friday night, absolutely. It was a beautiful Friday night here.
I was, you know, ready to go out the door, and I had the TV on, and I was watching because, you know, of course, OJ had been in the news for a while.
Yeah, all day there were updates with Kardashian, or was it Robert Kardashian?
Robert Kardashian was
Robert Shapiro reading the letter?
Well, I remember coming in here and, you know, reading about how, well, OJ had a cut finger because he said he dropped a glass, and I thought, how do you cut it?
But this was the day he was supposed to turn himself in.
Right, yeah. So things had been cooking along for less than a week.
Yeah, and then it turned out he was supposed to turn himself in like at noon.
And people were sort of
o'clock.
Formulating whether or not they thought OJ was guilty or not, and the car chase just cemented it for me.
It was.
I sat, instead of going out the door, I sat and watched and watched and watched, waiting for the hail of gunfire to end it all.
I had a TV that had picture-in-picture, and the Knicks and the Rockets were playing. I thought, I'm going to watch this, and I'll watch this, whatever's going on with OJ down here in picture-in-picture. So I have the game on. Within 10 minutes, I switched it to watching the car chase with the basketball game on the little picture. And then NBC, they're really torn on what to do. They go to a split screen with the basketball game on half of the screen. And the chase on the other half of the screen for a while until they finally just went totally to the chase. Because Costas was trying to do updates during the game.
Right, it was game five.
Yeah, if I remember correctly. Yep. It was a wild night.
Think about that. In the state of you have that going on in Los Angeles. In New York, you have the parade with the Rangers. Then you've got game five of the NBA Finals that night at Madison Square Garden. And the Knicks hadn't won a title since, what, the 70s?
Yeah.
60s, 70s, whatever. Right. And you've got the Knicks winning game five. But, yeah, that was the most important thing, the most jaw-dropping thing was O.J. Simpson. The juice was on the loose.
I watched because I thought I could be seeing history here live on national TV. I swore
everybody
I was
knew
going
that.
To see gunfire.
Yeah.
By the end of the
night. I thought I was going to see a Heisman Trophy winner, the single season rushing champion in the NFL. I thought I'm going to see him hop out of this car and get into a shootout with the Los Angeles police on live TV.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. His son came out, yelled at him.
You know, crowds of people gathered on overpasses with signs cheering the juice on.
And to this day, I can't figure out how you get a sign made that quickly and get on a street corner to hold up, go run, juice run, or go.
How do you figure where he's going?
Whatever.
Calculate how far away he is, how much time you have. Make the sign, run down there.
There was no shortage of signs either.
No.
People holding up their stuff.
Tonight, game five.
6:39 remaining. In this first half, Knicks by two.
Marv Albert, yeah.
Yep. Then they go to footage of
the chase.
We are looking at live pictures of Interstate 5 in Los Angeles. We believe that white vehicle, which is being trailed by a phalanx of California Highway Patrol cars and helicopters, belongs to Al Cowlings, who disappeared with O.J. Simpson earlier today. Shortly after Mr. Simpson was informed that he was going to be formally charged with the murder of his wife and the young man who was with her at the time. It is the latest bizarre development in a string of bizarre and shocking developments that have been going on all day long.
Thank you, Tom, for that. Yeah.
I think I need to watch tonight. I have to watch June 17th, 1994. The 30 for 30.
I've seen it a couple of times. It's good.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And it really doesn't just focus on OJ. It just focuses on all four things you just mentioned. All these things were going on the same day. It's crazy.
Yeah, think about
it. It's a busy day in sports history just in general. It was Jack Nicklaus beat Arnold Palmer at the U.S. Open.
What year?
62.
Okay.
Ted Williams hit his 500th home run.
Yeah, there you go. Those are some pretty – this is a historical
day. Think about just that day. You got a parade for the Rangers. You've got the Knicks and Rockets in the NBA Finals, an NBA Finals even at two games apiece. You've got the greatest golfer of all time just one stroke back at the U.S. Open at 54. You've got the World Cup opening up on our soil. Now, granted, I know that soccer, especially in 94, wasn't that big, but still.
Still pretty big
event.
It was
in the United States.
Yeah.
It's also the day of the Watergate break-in discovery.
Yeah. In 1972, yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
History, man, it's bottomless. You'll never get to the whole.
That's why history is fun. Yeah. You know what else happened that day?
Yeah, you can say on and on.
Oh, yeah, through history all the time. Now.
I think it's my brother-in-law's birthday, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's my son-in-law's birthday.
Pretty sure.
There you go.
Actually. Yeah.
Which one, the good one or the one you don't like? That's funny to me. That's really funny to me.
I don't know if you saw this yesterday. We talked about it early in the show. But the Ford Bronco is being reissued. You saw that, right?
Oh, I saw that on the Facebook page. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they promoting it as the OJ car?
Well, I don't think they are, but.
Not officially, but they are.
The white Ford Bronco is coming back. Are they going to sell it in white?
I don't know. If they unveil the new Bronco, you know, and they pull the sheet or whatever off of it when they do the unveiling, and it's white, then you know something's going on.
The only one I've seen so far, and it doesn't look like the old Ford Bronco that OJ was in. It's a Jeep. They're out there to compete with Jeep. The top comes off. The doors come off. But the only one I've seen so far, the only prototype I've seen, is gray with the black top. Mm-hmm. So you're right. If they
roll this out against a white Ford Bronco, it's like, oh.
And you know it's being released on OJ's birthday.
Is it really?
Yes,
that
it is.
July 9th is OJ's birthday. Yeah. Now, if you work for the Ford Motor Company, do you do that on purpose or is it complete oversight?
It's complete oversight.
But. I would hope that there would be someone in the Ford Motor Company like, okay, we're bringing back out the Bronco. Most famous thing about Broncos is that it was the car that drove OJ. Let's just do a little Google search.
Maybe someone
born
was on their
on July
toes.
9th. Okay. No, maybe we don't release it on
how
that
many
day.
Birthdays do you check?
I would think OJ would be the first.
I think I would get out an OJ info sheet.
I think you'd say, well, what day was the chase? Oh, June 17th. All right. Well, we'll do it after the 4th of July.
If you Wikipedia OJ, every one of those dates is right there.
Don't
everyone.
Release it on, yeah. There's a couple dates OJ related. Just don't release it on June 17th, birthday.
Or the day of the June 13th, 12th.
The acquittal.
13th. Yeah, right.
And maybe don't have it available in white. I'm just going to.
That's
not their fault. There's a million white vehicles out
there. My brother was at the beach a couple years ago and saw a Ford, like the Ford Bronco, and they had a personalized license plate that said, not OJ.
You know that Al and OJ had matching Broncos, white Broncos. OJ's have been impounded with blood all over it, remember?
That sort of gets lost in the mishmash of the story. There's so many things going on, but yeah, they had.
Well, I thought.
They saw blood drops on a white Bronco outside of the Brentwood.
Yeah, it's parked outside.
It's OJ's Bronco.
Yeah, they went.
Al Cowlings had a white Bronco.
Yeah, they both had white Broncos. OJ's was already impounded as evidence, and Al was using his for that low-speed chase in Los Angeles. A lot of people think that was O.J.'s Bronco. It wasn't.
It was A.C.'s.
That was Al's. Yeah. And O.J. was in the back with, let's go through the list again, cash, a fake mustache.
Fake beard and mustache.
Hair and mustache.
Was it just a mustache?
A gun.
Yeah. A bunch of pictures. Was it framed pictures of his mother and Nicole?
Yeah. He was on the phone with his mom, right?
Yes. Al was on the phone with the police telling him to back off. Back off. Tell him to back off.
Really?
Wild.
I mean, what difference is that going to make, really?
What a day. What a day that was. Yes.
Yeah, I remember.
Sitting
down and just getting more and more comfortable with just sitting there and watching. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to watch this.
The other day, I was over at a friend's house, and they're all my age, so, you know, 33, 32, and because I had older siblings, I used to watch Saturday Night Live all the time, you know, in the mid-90s. And I remember, not vividly, but I remember just Norm MacDonald and all he would do was just smash OJ. Yeah. And none of them had seen it. I'm like, okay, now I have to find it. And I was just playing all the clips from Weekend Update.
That got Norm MacDonald fired
because
Saturday
Night. Ebersol was friends with OJ, and he didn't like it.
He didn't think it was funny at all.
He did not hold back.
No.
And I still remember when.
I think Norm was trying to get fired at that point.
Possibly.
Well, and he also hosted the ESPYs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he hosted the ESPYs in 1998.
Let's get some audio from that.
Yeah.
Because I remember that. That was really uncomfortable.
And his last joke, he was just crushing everyone. And his last joke, and most hosts of the ESPYs, you know, they toe the line. They don't do anything. And his last joke was.
We have the last joke,
Ron? The Charles Woodson joke?
Oh, hold on. He's searching yet. He's got that look. He's looking at that screen with a furrowed brow.
For folks, is the other two guys nominated for Golfer of the Year?
Tiger Woods joke.
You see these guys getting ready, and you know, I'm like, hey, honey, have you seen my tuxedo? No, not the good one. The one I wear when I'm going to get my ass kicked. Have you seen that one? Boomer Esiason is with us. Boomer.
Now we got nothing else to talk about. Just let Norm talk.
Boomer, of course, will replace Frank Gifford on Monday Night Football next season. And Frank told reporters that this will allow him to spend more time with his wife and children. Then he broke down and cried for 45 minutes. So
that was on the heels of his affair.
Oh, here it is. And what a season he had. Great, Manny. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case.
Well,
the ESPYs.
That's why it was taken away. They wanted it back.